Our scripture lesson today is 1 Peter chapter 2, 2 through 10, and can be found in 926 in your pew Bible. Instead, like a newborn baby, desire the pure milk of the world. Nourished by it, you will grow in salvation. Since you have tested that the Lord is good, now you are coming to him as a living stone, even though this stone was rejected by humans. From God's perspective, it is chosen, valuable. You yourself are being built like living sisters into the spiritual temple. You are being made into the holy priesthood to offer us spiritual sacrifices that have been accepted to God through Jesus Christ. This is written in Scripture. Look, I am the cornerstone in Zion, chosen, valuable. The person who believes in him will never be shamed. So God honors those who believe. For those who refuse to believe, though, the stone the builders tossed away became the capstone. This is the stone that makes people stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Because they refuse to believe in the word, they stumble into this time to the end which they are appointed. But you are the chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who are God's own possession. You have become this people so that you may speak of the wonderful acts of the one who you led you out of the darkness into the amazing light. Once you weren't a people, but now you are God's people. Once you haven't received the mercy, you now have received the mercy. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ron. And so it's been said multiple times this morning, but I think it bears repeating that today is Mother's Day. And so though for those of you guys out there that have forgotten maybe about Mother's Day, I'm going to turn my head right now, so if you need to leave and get some stuff for your moms, then you can go right ahead. All right. Have I given you enough time? I don't see any doors slamming or anything, so maybe you all remembered. That's good. I'm glad. And so as I said, today is Mother's Day. It's a day to remember those women in our lives that have nurtured us, raised us, made us into the people that we are today. We also honor our spouses, our wives, the mothers of our children who have done such an amazing job raising them up to the children that God has called them to be. But we not only honor biological mothers, because mothers come in a variety of ways. Maybe it's somebody that has served in a motherly role in your life, who's acted very much like a mother, even though they might not be related to you by blood. We celebrate those persons today as well. And so, believe it or not, did you know that Mother's Day actually has Methodist roots? That it actually is born out of a Methodist church? And so, if you didn't know that, I'm about to enlighten you. And so according to the amazing accuracy of Wikipedia, but I also know from other sources too, that the first Mother's Day was celebrated in Grafton, West Virginia, in 1908, at St. Andrew's Methodist Church. And so a day of a woman named Ann Jarvis, who wanted to honor the legacy of her mother, who tirelessly and selflessly cared for wounded soldiers during the Civil War. She wanted to honor women everywhere who had filled a very similar role. And so that is how Mother's Day was born. And so as Mother's Day continued on over the years, it is said that Ann Jarvis actually resented the commercialization of Mother's Day. That it shouldn't just be another Hallmark holiday. But what's most important is the sentiment, the way that we should feel, the way that we should celebrate and honor those special people known as our mothers. And so whenever I think about Mother's Day and the special significance that it holds in my life, I can't help but think about my own mom. My mom was most definitely a very important person in my life who helped form me into the man I am today. She taught me some very valuable life lessons, such as don't think too fondly of yourself, you're no better than anybody else. She taught me the importance of never settling for second best, to strive to do better, no matter how good I think I've done. She forged in me the values of hard work, kindness, and compassion. My mom was always also the advice giver in my family. And so whenever I had a problem, whenever there was something I was going through in my life, the person that I would always go to would be my mom. And I knew that she would always be a listening ear, that she would talk to me as long as I needed about anything going on in my life, and we were able to solve many of the world's problems together. So it's amazing to be able to reflect upon the amazing things that my mom has done to make me the man I am today. She's taught me the value of knowing myself, my identity, and how God has uniquely created me as the person that I am, the special gifts and graces to use for the glory of God in the service of the world. If I had to summarize in one sentence the many lessons that my mom has taught me, I would say this. The best moms in the world, I think, remind us who we are and also whose we are. And so I think this is also very true of the church. And so theologians throughout history have used the metaphor of the church being our mother throughout history. And I think it's a really important metaphor for us to think about, that the church is like our mother. And it makes me think about this passage from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 30, which talks about how husbands are supposed to honor their wives, the mothers of their children. And so the passage says this, and I think it's a very powerful one. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body." And so us husbands out there, we have a call that's given to us in scriptures that we are to love our wives in the same way that Christ loved the church. And let me tell you, that is a pretty incredible love. We're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. I want to think about it this way. Christ loved the church so much. And the church is not these four walls. It's not the stained glass. It's not the pews. It's not the altar. But the church is all of us. And so God loved the church, all of us, so much that he sent his son Jesus to die upon a cross. He sacrificed himself for the sins of the world. He gave up his life, became in the form of a lowly servant, and died to open the gates of heaven wide and to save us from our sins. So what an incredible thing to know that if we are called to love our wives as Christ loves the church, Christ was willing to sacrifice himself for the church. What kind of love should we have those mothers of our children? What kind of love should we have for those people who nurture and love and care for our children? You know, in the Ten Commandments, it tells us that we are to honor our father and mother. It's so important that we know and understand that truth. And so we recognize today that the church is our mother. And I think that one of the most important things that we need to learn as we are a church together is that we need to know who we are and whose we are. And the same way that our own mothers teach us. And so I think this passage from 1 Peter chapter 2 helps us to understand it. And so in verse 2 it says this, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted and see that the Lord is good. And so the church is the place that we are nurtured in the faith. It is in this place that we come together to worship, to pray, to celebrate and honor God, to give of ourselves, and also be commissioned to go out and serve the world. This is the cradle of our faith, the church. And so when we're a new believer, we don't instantly become the best Bible scholar in the world. We have to grow. We have to evolve in our faith. The study never ends. We never graduate from studying God's word. Something we do forever and ever as we grow, as we're nurtured, as we mature in the faith. And so verses 4 through 6 remind us of another important thing about who we are. This passage, I think, gives us our identity as believers. It says, as you come to him, the living stone, referring to Jesus, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also are like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. See, verse 5 here is really important. It says, we are built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. So let me explain to you what that means. We in the Protestant church, when it separated from the Catholic church, there was one essential thing that really set us apart. One is that we take this passage from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 very seriously, because we believe that we are a priesthood of all believers. And so what that means is that not just me as an ordained clergy person, but all of you have spiritual gifts and graces that God has blessed you with to go out and share them with the world. So every one of you have something to contribute. Every one of you have something in you that you can use for the glory of God's kingdom. Every one of you have a gift to use to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we come to this place to be reminded of that truth, that we are beloved children of God. God wants us to know in this place who we are and whose we are as well. There's one other passage here that I want to share with you that I think is so important, verses 9 and 10. Listen to how precious and how special God thinks that we are. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You see, we are all God's special possession. We are all God's beloved children. We come here to the church, our mother, to be nurtured in the faith, to know who we are and whose we are. And this passage reminds us that we are a royal priesthood. We are a people called by God with special gifts and talents that we are to use to bless the world. We are here to be Jesus' hands and feet. And so our mothers give us a firm foundation for our lives. They teach us right from wrong. They teach us how to be kind, compassionate, loving, generous. They teach us that we have something to give to the world. And so in the same way, our mothers have nurtured us and given us these truths of who we are and whose we are, our mother church does the same for us. God reminds us through his holy word, who we are and whose we are. And so in our 9 o'clock service, we were able to glorify God as Owen Jackson was baptized. And baptism is such the perfect image of being reminded of who we are and whose we are. Baptism is a celebration of that life, that child of God, that God is reaching out and ready to accept this child into the family, that one day he would know Jesus Christ, that we would covenant together to nurture that child in the faith. That's what baptism is all about, to know our true identity as the beloved children of God. And so never forget today, as we celebrate our mothers, we celebrate our mother church, never forget who you are and whose you are. You are God's special possession. We are a royal priesthood together who are commissioned to go out and to serve a hurting and broken world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are reminded that you have given us gifts. You have given us talents. You have given us graces. Lord, in the same way that our mothers have given us a firm foundation for our life, Lord, we come here to our mother church to have a firm foundation for our faith. And so, O Lord God, help us to remember that we are a holy priesthood, that we are God's special possession, that we are beloved. Heavenly Father, help us to go out into your world sharing this truth that we are your beloved children. Let us hold you close, O God, and know that we are your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.